KNX News, 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Brought to you by LMU Loyola Law School.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
Well, welcome to the post-election phase of Countdown 2024, where instead of looking ahead to Election Day, we're now preparing for Donald Trump's transition back into the White House. On today's show, we have a post-mortem on Kamala Harris's defeat and Trump's big win, and look ahead to what a second Trump administration will bring for the country. Then we are turning our focus on Southern California election results, where a new law and order district attorney will take office, and major changes are likely coming to LA County governments. But first this.
Republicans have pretty good odds for a clean sweep of the federal government after winning the presidency and gaining back control of the Senate, with several House races still too close to call. Forecasters are predicting that Republicans are likely to maintain a slim majority in the House of Representatives. Votes are still being counted in California and Arizona, keeping Democrats' faint hopes alive of flipping the House. But it was the loss of several democratically held House seats in Pennsylvania that seemed to seal their fate.
Special Counsel Jack Smith is reportedly in talks with the Justice Department about winding down his prosecutions of President-elect Trump, respecting the department's longstanding policy that a sitting U.S. president cannot be criminally prosecuted. Trump had promised to fire Jack Smith 2 seconds after moving back into the White House if he won the race. Trump is still facing sentencing later this month in New York in the hush money case in which he was found guilty of felonies earlier this year.
In a sign of things to come, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who had run his own independent campaign for president before endorsing Donald Trump, is already talking about gutting entire departments at the Federal Food and Drug Administration. Kennedy, an infamous anti-vaxxer, also promised that he is not going to take away anyone's vaccines if he's placed in charge of the Health and Human Services Department. Trump's eventual cabinet could also include billionaires like Elon Musk and John Paulson, and Republican senators like Marco Rubio and Mike Lee.
Last night's resounding win for Donald Trump, who will likely be the first Republican presidential candidate to win the popular vote in 20 years, has left half of the country emboldened and half of the country fearing the worst. Here to help us explain how we got here is Mike Murphy. He's a veteran Republican political strategist who has run campaigns for the likes of Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mitt Romney, and John McCain. Mike.
Hello.
The Democrats really screwed this one up. What did they do wrong?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, I think most of the blame has to go to Joe Biden. He made the mistake of running for re-election, then trying to do an early debate to restart his campaign, and then having such a horrible performance in the debate, his campaign collapsed. It's really hard to find any other historical analogy to that. And then they kind of had the shotgun marriage the party to Kamala Harris, who was therefore put in a really tough situation and I think made the best of it. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't change. People in every poll, the number one number wasn't Trump, wasn't Harris. It was the country is seriously off on the wrong track, well over 60%. And so while a lot of us kind of overcomplicated the analysis thinking, well, the Dobbs decision, turnout, she's generationally different, she's sunnier than Trump. This was a classic, like 1980 of Jimmy Carter, fire the incumbents, get them out of there. Stuff cost too much, inflation killed me. Trump may be, you know, not perfect, but the economy was better with Trump. That's what I want. You're fired, you're fired, you're fired. And that gave Trump a bit of a landslide.
I mean, with regard to Harris, do you feel like it was simply the fact that she was a part of the Biden administration that people were saying, no way? Or could she have tweaked it in some way for herself to her benefit and just didn't do it?
No, I think she ran about a B-plus campaign, which was better than I expected. She had been a terrible candidate in 2019. She didn't do badly, but I think if she'd run an A-plus campaign, not made a few of the mistakes that were big, she still would have lost, because this was an earthquake. It was about change, throw the bums out. And she did, for many voters, represent kind of what they would say on the Trump side, the woke takeover of the Democratic Party. Fair or unfair, In those industrial states, the swing states that counted, the so-called blue wall, which is now the blue rubble, it didn't make the case. Now, if there'd been a primary, if Joe Biden had not run and there'd been a primary contest with winners and losers, somebody, maybe Harris, maybe Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan, maybe somebody else would have emerged from that with the rocket fuel of having won a tested contest. And maybe they could have made the argument, I'm change. Don't punish me. I'm a lot different than Biden. She was unable to make that change. And so, therefore, Biden might have done the economic crime, but Kamala wound up doing the time.
All right. So let's now stop looking back and try to look a little bit forward. You know, some of the people that you ran campaigns for, as we mentioned, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mitt Romney, both of those gentlemen decided to come out rather vocally against Donald Trump's candidacy with concerns about what his presidency would mean for the country. What do you think his presidency is going to mean for the country?
Well, that's the big open question. I mean, we have a pretty good idea who he is, and so as a conservative Republican who doesn't like Trump and also didn't support him, I worry he'll just go on a grievance rampage, and that won't be good for anybody, particularly the country. On the other hand, maybe he'll find some graciousness. We didn't really see it election night. I was hoping for a few kind words about his opponent, the American tradition. But he might, he likes being popular. And so, you know, he may pull back the hot campaign rhetoric for a while and just focus on economic repair. I think it's just too early to tell, but I would be appropriately paranoid based on his past behavior, which was troubling, particularly in foreign policy, where I'm sure the NATO allies are having some sleepless nights right now.
We are speaking with Mike Murphy, a veteran Republican political strategist. I know we're kind of looking forward, but did you ever think that you would see a president who was impeached twice, indicted four times, convicted of 34 felonies, come back like this and be sent back to the White House?
Not until about a month ago, where I thought, okay, on the 65% wrong track, fire the bums, my God, he might make it in. And then I saw the last 10 days of the campaign where I thought he bungled everything he could. His own staff thought he was going to lose. I mean, believe me, there were some Oscar performances on election night with staffers looking like they knew all the time. They did not believe that. And Harris had a lot of momentum. So I thought, okay, big wrong track. This one's going to be different. She's going to eke it out. And I, like many pundits, was totally wrong. We blew it. So there was a window where I thought it, but I sure didn't think it the last week of the election.
You know, a president, no matter who it is and no matter which party the president belongs to, is, of course, more than just one person. It's the administration that really ends up running the country. Are you concerned not only about Donald Trump, because as you've said, you have not been a supporter of Mr. Trump, even though you are a Republican. Are you more concerned about Trump in the White House or the people that Trump will be surrounding himself with, starting with his vice president, J.D. Vance, but also some names that we just mentioned in the opener of the show, Robert Kennedy Jr. and Elon Musk and John Paulson?
Yes, to give you the short answer. I know J.D. Vance. He's very smart. I'm not sure he believes in anything. He tried to hire me in 2017 to run in Ohio for Senate as an anti-Trump Republican. That was back when he was a Trump hater.
So is he lying? Is he lying now? Do you think?
Well, I don't know. I told him he probably couldn't win, so maybe it's all my fault. I do think I'll take a smart cynic who doesn't believe in anything than a crazy ideologue. So, you know, if it's good for J.D. Vance, maybe he'll course correct. As far as staff, in Washington, we often say that personnel is policy. In the first Trump administration, there were a lot of serious people who went in partially to become guardrails for Trump. Many of them came out in the campaign and said, whatever you do, don't elect them. Now, there's a real risk, and there's an effort, I think, that will be made to avoid this risk, but a real risk that he's going to have some third raters with pinwheel eyes in there, and that could be not only trouble, it could be a confidence problem at a time when the Chinese and the Russians are being quite aggressive and we need the U.S. to be on our game. So I think it's a huge open question, but serious people in both parties, Republicans silently, are very worried about presidential personnel and Trump 2.0. But we will see. We don't know yet.
Is there anybody that could be there that could maybe talk some sense into him about who he's going to put in his circle, in his cabinet there?
Well, yeah, there are some sane people around him who are loyalists, but Trump's not generally a tell-me-what-to-do kind of guy. He runs on instinct, and he's got some bitterness from the first time where all these decorated four-star generals had the nerve to tell him about military strategy. So he fired or squeezed out or feuded with almost all of them. Trump doesn't really recognize anybody else's credentials or talent, and that's generally what I don't look for in a commander-in-chief. But look, he won. Maybe it'll soften him. I think some people will try to do that. And maybe the transforming experience of having a very big win here where he really performed, maybe that'll get him to step back and think about history a little.
Toward the very end of the campaign, Kamala Harris got to the point where she agreed with the characterization of some that Trump is a fascist. Did America just elect one?
Well, I think he's got a fascist adjacent myself. I don't know if he's true blue. I haven't seen a uniform yet. But, yeah, America elected a strong man. But, you know, those of us who follow this stuff get into the nuances. If you're somebody who is now paying more every month for groceries and having trouble making ends meet, you don't have a lot of high-toned discussions about democracy at the kitchen table. You have discussions about, thank God the car didn't break down because I don't have the $300 to fix it and I'll lose my job.
So you just want
people are under real economic pain,
so
and that's what they voted on.
So you just want the trains to run on time, which does sound familiar.
Yeah, well, yes, there is an echo there, and he definitely runs as a strong man, but this was a fight back against economic pain for working people and fight back against the theory that there's the Democrats out of control on woke serum rejection, and that that carried the day loud and clear in most places.
All right, Mike Murphy, veteran Republican political strategist. Thank you for your time. All politics are local. So coming up next, a breakdown of last night's election results that will bring big changes to L.A. County. Countdown 2024 is brought to you by LMU Loyola Law School, where students ignite justice. LLS.edu/radio.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back on this day after Election Day. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Margaret Carrero. Voters in California and Los Angeles County seem to follow the general patterns of voters across the country by moving to the right. The statewide rent control proposition failed. The rollback to Prop 47 that will toughen up penalties for theft and drug convictions passed. And L.A. County now has a tough on crime prosecutor back in charge.
And Measure G, which would add more members to the L.A. County Board of Supervisors and turn the county chief executive officer position into an elected office, appears set to win. So that means big changes perhaps coming for county governments. Here to walk us through the implications for our local elections is Wendy Gruhl, former L.A. City Controller and former mayoral candidate. So Wendy, here the day after Election Day, what does the near-term future of L.A. County look like?
Well, if Measure G holds, that will be the biggest change to LA County government that we have seen in decades. And so I think as well, it was a tale of kind of two cities, so to speak, two counties, where you had one, which is they wanted to expand, albeit just over 50%, the number of elected officials and an elected CEO. And on the city side, you had a number of ethics reforms that was dealing with some of the challenges that have been commonplace, unfortunately, in the past here with the city of Los Angeles. So it was a bit of a schizophrenic, I will say, election when you look at that. Happy that Measure A passed on homelessness to be able to ensure we continue those efforts. But it was not just a same as always. There was lots of changes.
Were there any surprises for you?
No, not a lot. No. I mean, I think that obviously national was a bit different. And locally, I mean, there are some close races here in the region and seeing those. But I think everyone pretty much knew that Hochman was going to win. Also, 36 was clear that it was going to pass. I think the questions, as we briefly spoke about yesterday, is about how you fund some of those changes. I think last night looking, you know, you weren't sure about minimum wage or, you know, workers in jail or, you know, who still have to work, the forced labor issue. So this was not something that I think, again, was a symbiotic kind of election.
Some of the measures that passed, for example, to make it easier for prosecutors to prosecute certain crimes that are nonviolent, but nonetheless have been considered not worthy of being incarcerated if convicted. Is that something that should be of concern, especially to communities of color?
Well, I think that has been the argument that people had against this, which is, of course, and we've heard many elected officials say, if you commit a crime, you should be punished. Absolutely. But there are areas where people feel that there are undue, you know, application of the law, depending upon the color of your skin. I think the other, again, area I see as someone who deals with the issue of housing and homelessness in Los Angeles, the fact is we don't have enough beds currently for mental health or for drug addiction. And that is one of the options that is in Proposition 36 is providing them that option. If it's not there, what happens? And as we've seen in many of our jails, mental health, you know, it's the biggest mental health facility we have is in our local jails.
Clearly, we need more affordable housing. I wonder what your thoughts are on the statewide rent control proposition failing.
You know, I think it was quite confusing. And a common theme that I hear from people is, why are we in the, you know, the voters making decisions on these very complicated issues when the state legislature, we hope that they will step up and address that. And that was a common theme that we heard. This is too confusing about it. We believe in rent control, but how is this going to impact our neighborhood? How does it impact the small, you know, business owner who may own that fourplex, whatever it may be? And so I think I'm all for the initiatives. I think that's an important part for, you know, democracy in the state of California. But I also think it is time to see if we can get some of these laws passed that don't have to go fully to the voters, that we have a legislature that thinks through all of the pluses and minuses of that.
We are speaking with Wendy Gruhl, former LA City Controller and former mayoral candidate, and we will keep the focus on California election results next.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Welcome back to Countdown 2024. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Margaret Carrero. We continue our post-election edition with former LA City Controller Wendy Gruhl.
Wendy, I think it's probably fair to say that Mayor Bass would have preferred her friend Kamala Harris to be president of the United States, because it would mean a smoother ride for the city of Los Angeles when it comes to whatever aid or cooperation we might need from the federal government. How do you think Mayor Bass is likely to get along with Donald Trump?
You know, the mayor is someone who in Los Angeles, you know, works both sides of the aisle and is a pragmatic politician, elected official. She cares about what the city needs and wants. And so she will do what it takes to work cooperatively with the federal government, whether that's for emergency services that we will need in time of crisis, or on issues relating to housing and homeless. I am an eternal optimist and hope that the Trump administration will, you know, take the rhetoric out of it and begin to help us solve problems. And I think that's where the mayor's perspective is. We're going to continue to stand where we need to, but work cooperatively to provide for the citizens of Los Angeles.
You know, you said at the top when I asked you if you saw any, if there were any surprises for you at the local level, and you said not really so much, but different on the national level. How surprised were you with the election results for the presidency?
You know, everyone thought it would be really close. And I think as the language that was used, nauseously optimistic was from a lot of people out there. I think the surprise was that everyone thought it actually could happen. I mean, and it was going to be close. I think the difference between now and 8 years ago, when I was there in New York, and we stood waiting for Hillary Clinton to come out and thought it could never happen, that she wouldn't win. I think everyone was braced to the potential that this could happen. And the emails and texts you've been receiving today from everyone is, we're still going to fight for the issues that we care about, and we know what we have to do. We did this, four years ago, 8 years ago. So I think there's a little bit more resolve and an understanding, but a clear, obviously, disappointment as to the direction the voters took across the country.
How concerned do you think undocumented immigrants ought to be who reside in L.A.?
No, I think we are, I will say, lucky in the state of California, where we have responsible law enforcement on the state and local level and checks and balances. So I believe that in that instance, we will not see some of the challenges you're going to see in some of these other states, where it may be that they stop you just based on the color of your skin, and not, you know, not everyone. If you've been a citizen of the United States or born in the United States, you don't carry your papers with you. You don't carry your passport. You carry your driver's license. So I think we saw this in some states with sheriffs who were overzealous in doing that. And I think that is something that the rest of the country is going to watch closely and ensure that that kind of discrimination does not exist for those that are clearly citizens of the United States.
All right. L.A. City Controller, former L.A. City Controller, Wendy Gruhl. Wendy, thanks for being with us. The election, well, it may be over, but it is over. The massive changes coming to this country are only just beginning. So starting tomorrow, we will be counting down the days until Donald Trump's inauguration, and we'll examine all of the wide-ranging ramifications of a new sheriff headed back to the White House. Countdown 2024, brought to you by LMU Loyola Law School, where students ignite justice, lls.edu/radio.